We've been looking at a question: what is a Christian? And we've been answering that question by looking at what the Bible, particularly the New Testament, has to say in answer to the question, what is a Christian? We began several weeks ago, a couple of months ago now, by saying that a Christian is a Christian. Even though that term is hardly used in the New Testament. It only occurs in two or three places in the New Testament, and in each place it's used in a derogatory sense. It was a term of abuse, little Christs, literally, by detractors of the gospel in the first century. Now, we've also looked at titles like a Christian is a saint. A holy one, literally, someone who in the gospel has been set apart and is in an entirely new, different relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship that the New Testament calls being a saint. Next week, the title will be a soldier. A Christian is a soldier, and my colleague David Lawton will be addressing you on that topic. A Christian is a soldier next week. Today's answer to the question, what is a Christian, is that a Christian is a citizen. A citizen. I didn't put this together. Dr. Ferguson put this together. This is part of his way of thinking. And so I emailed him yesterday and I said, what in the world did you have in mind when you said a Christian is a citizen? I knew the answer. At least I thought I knew the answer, because the word citizen is actually only used on a couple of occasions in the New Testament. Once in Ephesians, and the text is before you, and once in Philippians chapter 3, and we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 3:20 in a minute. But before I look at what the Bible has to say, I thought I would introduce it this way. I am not a citizen of the United States. That shocks you, doesn't it? I mean, you are absolutely shocked by that. I am not a citizen of the United States of America. I am legal, just in case you misunderstand what I'm saying. I do have legal documentation that allows me to work in this country. I have what's called a green card. Actually, it's not green, and never was green, I don't think. It looks a bit like your driving license, and has a magnetic strip, and it contains all kinds of data about me and my past. And every time I come through immigration, usually in Atlanta, sometimes in New York, occasionally in other cities in the United States. Usually I'm flying in from somewhere in Britain, but sometimes I'm flying in from Brazil or somewhere like that. There are two options before me. One is those who are not Americans or American citizens, or those who hold a green card, have to go through one line. And those who are American citizens with an American passport, or as in my case, I have a European passport. Actually, it's a British passport given by Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. And I know you're green with envy at the fact that I hold one of these passports. But I am legal, so I actually go through the American line. And every time I go through that line and you're checked, and I do have to do things that American citizens do not have to do. I have to give my fingerprints every single time. It is a chore, but I do have to give my fingerprints. And once all that's done and a little sound of bleep goes, and that means everything's hunky-dory, usually, depending on the mood of the individual, they will say, "Welcome home." And I like that, because this is my home. I'm not a citizen, but this is my home. I was about to say my dog is here. I should say my family, some of my family are here. And my dog is here. This is my home. I live here. You are my brothers and sisters. You are my family. You're part of my wider family. But I'm not a citizen. My citizenship is elsewhere. Now, I'm going to play on that theme a little, because as Christians, I can relate to being a citizen of heaven, perhaps in a slightly different way from you, in that I experience this duality, living in two spheres. I experience it every day. I have to say, I absolutely love certain things about the United States of America. I mean, I absolutely love North American food. I absolutely love it. And now when I go home, you know, there are all kinds of jokes about British food, that it's bad. You know, you go, wherever you go, you'll find Korean restaurants and Vietnamese restaurants and French restaurants, Italian restaurants, Mexican restaurants, but you never find British restaurants. Or if you did, would you be tempted to go in and buy something? So now when I go home, I think, yeah, this food is pretty bad. It's sort of bland. There are certain things. Judy, is that your phone? And it's buried in the very bottom of your purse. We'll give you a second to turn it off. But there are certain things I absolutely love about being an American. One is food. Another thing, I actually love the weather. Now, I don't like your summers. I mean, that goes without saying. The summers were very bad. Actually, they were an endurance test. But, you know, it's 50 degrees in Glasgow today. And here, this is like a British summer. But I have to tell you that in my car, I listen through the technology of satellites. I listen to the BBC World Service. You know, I have options. I can listen to CNN. I can listen to Fox News. I can listen to all kinds of stuff. But my default is, this is the BBC World Service. And I think, oh yes, I'm home. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. According to the New Testament, I'm a saint, though you may quarrel with that. I'm in union with Jesus. My sins are forgiven. I live here. But my citizenship is elsewhere. My citizenship is in heaven. Now, Paul talks about this in several different ways. First of all, Paul was, and he tells us in Acts 21:39, he tells us that he was a citizen of no mean city. Now, if you're using the ESV, you don't have those words. But if you remember the King James version of the Bible, which is the only one in my head, Paul says, I was a citizen of no mean city. I think the ESV says, I'm a citizen of no obscure city. He's talking about Tarsus. He was a citizen of Tarsus, which in Paul's day meant only people with a lot of property actually had citizenship, documented citizenship of a city. Tarsus, do you remember your geography? If you go up the coastline of what you might think of as Israel and Syria today, up that Mediterranean coastline, just when it begins to bend at the very top, go inland about, well, 60, 70, 80 miles or so, and you'd come to Tarsus. That's where Tarsus was. Tarsus was a very important city. It actually vied with Athens in Greece and Alexandria in North Africa as the place to go to college. in Paul's day. It had a reputation for being the best university. I was about to name a university is better than, and I was about to name another one, but I better not. But you can do that in your heads. According to Paul, Tarsus was no mean city. It had a reputation for learning. He was proud, in a sense, of being a citizen of Tarsus. He actually didn't go to the university in Tarsus because his parents sent him to Jerusalem. He studied in Jerusalem. He'd have gone as a young teenager, perhaps as young as 12. Through his teenage years, he would have been in Jerusalem, away from home, studying under Rabbi Gamaliel and others. He tells us this. He was a citizen of Tarsus. Not everybody in Tarsus was a citizen. It was a fairly elite club. But he was one. He tells us also that he was a citizen of Rome. He was a Roman citizen. That means, he tells us this in Acts 22 and verse 25 and following, and the text is on your sheet. When they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, "Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?" He was a Roman citizen. He was a citizen of Tarsus, but he was also a Roman citizen. There are three times when Paul tells us that he's a Roman citizen. The first time is in Acts 16 in Philippi. The second time is here in Jerusalem. And the third time he'll do it is in Caesarea. Here in Acts 22, there's been a riot. He's gone back to Jerusalem. He's taken the offering that he's been collecting for about 2 or 3 years, and he's taken this offering back to Jerusalem because of the famine that there was in Jerusalem. And he's now in the outer court of the temple, and a riot has broken out, and they have caught Paul. The Roman soldiers have caught him, and the centurion has stretched him out. He's about to be beaten with whips and rods. This wasn't scourging, but it was something very similar to that. And he tells them here that he's a Roman citizen, and Roman citizens were not supposed to be scourged. They were not supposed to be beaten with whips. Now, elsewhere, Paul will tell us that he was beaten 5 times in this way. His back would have been torn to shreds. If you'd have taken Paul's shirt off his back, you could have seen the scars from the whippings that he had received. But he appeals now. First of all, he appeals to the centurion, and the centurion then goes to the tribune and says he's a Roman citizen. And that means he can't be scourged. Later on, a few chapters later, he'll be in Caesarea, in prison. And again, they're going to beat him. And this time, he appeals to Rome. He appeals to Caesar. Because as a Roman citizen, he had the right to a fair trial before his accuser. And his accuser, in this case, was the state itself. And so he appeals to Caesar. Now, an interesting question. How could Paul be a Roman citizen? He was Jewish. How did this Jewish family in Tarsus receive citizenship in the Roman Empire? And remember, Paul says he was born. He didn't just receive citizenship in Rome. He was born a citizen, which means that either his father or his grandfather or his great-grandfather had received, because he was a Jew, he had received citizenship. The speculation, and this is only a speculation, The speculation is, remember, Paul was a tent maker. This was a craft that he had learnt from his family. The speculation is that this family had supplied tents for Roman soldiers in the expansion of the empire, and for which they were given citizenship. And with citizenship came lots of rights and privileges. Privileges in law and privileges relating to property and privileges relating to commerce. It would have been a very elite club to be a citizen of Tarsus, but it would have been an even more elite club to have been a Roman citizen in Tarsus. So Paul has, he has his green card. No, he has a passport that says the United States of America on it. Only it says citizen of the Roman Empire. And there literally were little documents that he would have carried with him, or perhaps would have been kept at home in Tarsus. And when he was, when he became a Christian, he was thrown out of his home. His parents disowned him when he became a Christian. We don't actually know whether Paul actually had these documents on him. But in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, he says something quite extraordinary. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's not in Tarsus. It's not in Rome. It's in heaven. What does that mean? It means five things, very quickly. Firstly, it means that he's an alien. Do you know that's what I'm called by this country? I am an alien. Now, I love the sci-fi channel, right? It's my favorite channel. I love science fiction. And I am called by this country, technically, I am called a resident alien. You didn't know that, did you? I come from a star that on a good night you can see through. No. I'm called a resident alien. Paul says, I'm a citizen of heaven. Peter, do you remember in the first verse of Peter's first letter, he writes to those who are strangers and, yes, aliens. I don't really belong to this world, Paul is saying. I am proud of being a citizen of Tarsus. I am proud of being a citizen of the Roman Empire. But I don't really belong in this world. I am an alien in this world. And I wonder, is that how you view yourself in the list of priorities? You know, you're from Colombia. You are a South Carolinian and then some. And some of you are very, very proud of being South Carolinians. And you don't want to be North Carolinians. And you don't want to be from Mississippi. Some of you are very proud of the status that you have because you are an alumni of X, Y, Z. But I wonder if the first thing and the most important thing that dominates your Christian thinking, your worldview, your perspective, I'm first of all a citizen of heaven. I belong there. My name is written in the documents of heaven, in the Lamb's Book of Life. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. It says, first of all, that we are aliens. Secondly, we have a different emperor. We have a different governor. We have a different king. And he is King Jesus. He is my sovereign protector. He is my Lord. He is the one to whom I owe allegiance. Now, when I go to baseball games, which I do under threat of excommunication by my wife, who loves baseball, but it's one of the things I do for my marriage, I go to baseball games. And in the seventh inning, you know, or whatever it is, which inning, Steve, do you sing the national anthem? It's not the seventh, that's the stretch. Which, there's a point at which you sing, or is that the beginning? It's at the very beginning. That's right. It's at the very beginning. You know, you stand up, take your hat off. I do. I put my hand on my heart. I sing. I actually sing the American national anthem. I'm not a citizen, but I actually sing the American national anthem. As you sing God Save the Queen when you're in Britain. You do, right? But I don't serve the president. I have a greater king. I have a far greater king. And his name is Jesus. Thirdly, it means we live by a different set of laws. Now, there are laws. I pay my taxes. I mean, I don't have a vote. I do not vote. I don't vote in state elections. I don't vote in federal elections. I can't vote. But I still pay my... Wasn't there a war fought over this? Anyway, I obey the laws of this country. Well, most of them. I have been stopped for speeding once. I was on my way to Sunday school, and I was late. I actually made that plea to the officer. I'm on my way to Sunday school and I'm late. And he did not smile or flinch. He just kept on writing. But I obey a greater set of laws. Do you remember the apostles were once told, Peter and John were once told, not to preach in the name of Jesus? And do you remember what their response was? There are times when we must obey God rather than men. We have allegiances to the state and we have allegiances to the country. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but render to God what is God's. Fourthly, there are times when I can see that land that I belong to. I think I can see it. You know, in Pilgrim's Progress, there's a place called Beulah Land. Does anybody have a house here that they've actually called Beulah? You know, in Scotland, it's very common to see among Christians, their house is called Beulah. Because from Beulah, you could see heaven. From Beulah, you couldn't see Doubting Castle. The spires of Doubting Castle couldn't be seen from Beulah, but you could see heaven. And the glory of it, well, Bunyan didn't know sunglasses, but the language of Pilgrim's Progress suggests that the light was so bright coming from the celestial city that they had to shade their eyes because the light was so bright. And sometimes I think I can hear the angels singing because that's my home. And sometimes I see just little glimpses of it here. Sometimes in a sermon. Sometimes when I'm reading the Bible. Sometimes when I'm singing. When the roll is called up yonder and you shut your eyes and you think, that's where I'm going. And fifthly, my citizenship is in heaven means I have all of the rights and all of the privileges that belong to that city. I have all of it now. I'm not there yet. I'm an alien, but I have that. Like, I actually don't have it, but pretend I have my green card in my pocket. If I had my green card in my pocket, I have the right to enter this country. I have the right to work in this country. I have the right to pay taxes in this country. That's my right. That's my privilege. You know, if you're a believer, Are you a believer today? Are you trusting in Jesus only for your salvation? Have you come to him, told him that you're a sinner? And the only way that you can be saved, the only way that you can have an assurance that heaven is your home, is by saying, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked look to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die." You know, if you're a believer, nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm a citizen of heaven. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? A Christian is a citizen of heaven, an alien in this world. So I sit loose to this world. I don't build my life on this world or its treasures, because my citizenship is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful, extraordinary truth that you take the likes of us sinners by nature and give to us an assurance that in Christ we are heading for the glories and the beauty of heaven. So grant your blessing, Lord, we pray. Hide your word within our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen.